Jason Emerald, we're going to start recording. Something that shouldn't go on, anything that anybody can particularly get to, this is particularly a personal, put together need. Starting at initial needs, each building will have at least one deacon called to see to the needs of that building, whatever location it is in. And these will, as the scriptures dictate, take care of the physical facilities in these things, either to take care of these things themselves or to see that others are brought in to take care of them as their various skills will allow. And for every 12 of these, there will be a president called to watch over and supervise those who are ordained as deacons. And that as the Melchizedek priesthood will approve, that these will be ordinations to both men and women, sufficient to take care of these needs, but that no ordination as a deacon will disrupt a sole person in charge of a family. That this will not be a requirement on their hands. For the teachers' quorum, the responsibility will be as an ordination to ensure that families attend to their home gospel learning and teaching needs, that they attend to prayer and to scripture study, and to make sure the family is attentive to teaching the gospel, especially to children. Not to do it particularly themselves, but to make sure that it is a regular concern and attention regularly given to this in the home, and that these teachers will go into the homes to assist with this and help to regularize this among each family. That sufficient numbers of teachers ordained to this responsibility to go out in pairs, men with men, women with women, to take care of this need. And as given in Scripture, every 48 teachers or thereabouts will have a set-apart president over them to regulate the needs, to train the individual teachers, and to do the things that are necessary. As for the quorum of priests, every ward will have at least one priest, one who will be an agent of the bishop in that congregation, analogous to the clerk today, to take in monies, to distribute funds according to set budgets for each congregation. An additional priest may be called for each congregation to serve as an assistant or to split those responsibilities among the two. One agent or the other will, in the absence of the bishop, who will be called and ordained regionally or amongst several wards and even amongst more than one state, perhaps one bishop for each stake will be sufficient. Bishops have larger responsibilities, but nevertheless, a priest for handling the fiscal affairs of a ward, not to preside over the ward, which will be given to a called and set apart president, whether it is the elders' quorum president or one set apart as the president of a ward or a branch, whose primary function will be to coordinate activities and such in concert with the agent under a budget set by the bishop for that particular ward or branch, with a strict separation between the Aaronic and the Melchizedek priesthoods. The Melchizedek priesthood on the local level predominantly to supervise ward activities. The Elders' Quorum President specifically to guide the elders in leadership of their families, to train them up in the way they should go as priesthood holders. In wards where there are sufficient numbers to create two elders' quorums, a president will be appointed or called, but that is a Melchizedek priesthood matter and nothing for the bishop to do. Each ward will have an appointed agent, one who fills that role in the absence of the agent. An other agent is needed to take care of the needs of that ward or branch, requesting the help of elders as needed to administer the sacrament on a regular basis. With there to be 48 priests for each quorum, and this dictating a size appropriate for the overseeing by a bishop. Typically 24 units, 24 local units of the church. And if this is done within a metropolitan area, the presiding bishop may choose to appoint one additional bishop to supervise in such a metropolitan area. Elsewise, each bishop will have approximately 48 priests ordained and called in the individual units. Leadership is to set up an office in whatever building is available or in other office space, so that he may conduct interviews and councils as is needful for a bishop to do, according to the responsibilities placed upon him in Scripture. That each bishop will be responsible for enabling a storehouse for funds and other materials and supplies necessary to carry on the physical needs of the church, including the physical needs of widows in his area, to accept tithes and to accept consecrations, and to distribute consecrations to those in need, so that those who have may give, that those who do not have may have. To take care of the needs of the church first, and to take care of others as need may arise. But always after the needs of the church are taken care of. And that the teachers might also, as they go from home to home, to strengthen and bolster, to always be mindful of individual families' responsibilities to be of a charitable nature to others outside their homes after their individual needs are taken care of, and when there is a surplus. And also that these teachers might report to the bishop perceived needs as they travel about, going to the individual homes. That needs may be brought, and that resources may be dispersed through individual assignments to agents to disperse funds or to take resources from the storehouse and put them into the hands of the saints first. And once the needs of the saints are met, to care for others as needs arise, as communicated to the bishop and approved by the set practice that this is done, always with a desire to strengthen self-reliance but there also may be meat in the houses of the saints, with a special care for widows and the fatherless. Never to take away the responsibility of fathers in divorce that they must take care of their children and attend to every family need, and that a marriage to another man does not relieve a father from his responsibility for his children. They only release a husband, a man, from supporting his ex-wife if another man takes upon himself that responsibility. That bishops and priests handling sacred funds and offerings given to the church, that these will be ordained priesthood holders, ordained to the priestly office. The bishops will first be chosen from the descendants of Aaron, as established through genealogical records, and that in circumstances where bishops are needed and no worthy descendant of Aaron is in place, a high priest may be called to that responsibility for a time, and that bishops under the direction of the presiding bishop will order the work of baptisms, the work of the ordinance of the sacrament under their stewardship, that it will be done in the way of courses, so that no one priest will be burdened for all responsibilities. All will be trained to do priestly duties within the several units, and this will be done as not to burden anyone overly. Insofar as the duties of a priest is needed to be done in a locality, the priest's family, a priest's family might be moved to the locality given a place to stay, a ration of church supplies for food, a stipend for family needs, and a unit of the church will be established there to be able to conduct the sacrament in order to call and ordain deacons and teachers sufficient for local needs from among what is needed. Whether there is a Melchizedek priesthood holder or not in that area, that the individual priest may be able to carry on all these activities as authorized and watched over by a bishop to whom that priest is presided over, so that those in distant areas will have to travel great distances to go to large established wards, but may have their needs met by an assigned priest agent in that area to take care of the basic needs of a basic church group. And these groups will be overseen by the bishop over that assigned priest, that they will go and see about the needs of that priest. I don't know what is to be done for individual members scattered that cannot even come together as a group. It's hard to say whether that's going to be happened by a traveling agent. That can certainly be done to send out a man to receive tithes, to do an occasional sacrament meeting, to make ordinations and assignments for teachers and deacons as needed. In the place of a group, often the provided quarters to the agent will serve as a meeting place for groups in small localities. As church needs are seen and identified by the bishop, not giving much consideration to whatever Melchizedek priesthood watch care is also done within the group, given needs. As for transitions, when this more strictly scripturally based manner and organization of the Aaronic priesthood is put into place, ordinations of young people to the Aaronic priesthood will essentially cease. The youth presidencies of the various quorums in individual units will be released, as well the congregational bishop and his counselors. At that time, we'll all receive releases from this, and for initial convenience sake, young men's classes will be assembled along a similar line as the young women's classes are done, and young men's advisors, just as young women's advisors, may be put into place according as a new calling, the ward president may may be empowered by a state president who has keys, may organize in this way according to how the brethren desire this to be done. It may be useful and a convenience as bishops are released, that they might be called as ward presidents. And as the Melchizedek priesthood seems fit, it may be appropriate that these men are ordained high priests. As this is done, though the two priesthoods are somewhat separate, men may be called to serve in the Aaronic priesthood as needed for the needs of the regulation and maintenance of Aaronic priesthood responsibilities. The deacon's quorum presence will often be out into the several wards and branches so that they might appropriately oversee deacons. That teacher's quorum presence may go out and go with their assigned teachers to make sure that no deviation from true gospel is being done. This helps in the maintenance of the size of quorums, 12 deacons to every deacon's quorum president. Deacon's quorum presence overseen by bishops, that there is more of a need for more teachers to go out among and to do the various needs in individual units and branches so that each family can be visited on a regular basis to ascertain whether they are keeping to prayer, keeping to scripture study, teaching children in the home, keeping up with their gospel responsibilities in the family, in the home. And that in addition to the priests who are assigned to local unit duties, priests will also be assigned to handle other Aaronic priesthood affairs, the storehouse, to serve on various councils, especially membership, quote, disciplinary councils, as necessary to regulate the Aaronic priesthood, to regulate those under the authority of the Aaronic priesthood, just as much as membership councils are needed from the Melchizedek priesthood level, mostly state presidents, to regulate those who are temple endowed. I reiterate once again, though, I feel that a calling to be an elder is to be taken upon oneself predominantly upon marriage, upon the creation of a family, but that this is totally within the confines of the Melchizedek priesthood. That there might not be duplication. I'm not sure exactly how ministering is going to be ultimately. But ministering should be a different, separate animal from teachers, ordained teachers, whose primary responsibility is that families and homes see to their gospel responsibilities. And there was something else. To ascertain and to be on the lookout for physical needs, to refer to the bishop. And, God, I'm trying to remember. There was something else that came to mind and said, ooh, that would be something that should be in the teacher's purview. And that priests are primarily called and set apart to serve as bishop's agents, each of the basic needs of remote groups, and always to supervise the baptisms, the sacraments, to see that confirmations are done under the authority of individual family patriarchs, to be in large over record keeping and making budgets for the various units, whether a group, a branch, or a ward, or stake. The changes of bishops may be done as is appropriate, knowing that this is often a hereditary call passed from father to son, but that this must be regulated by needs of worthiness, by needs of fitness for the rigors of the job, to be determined whether this is to become an occupation, like in the case of many general authorities. That if a priest is called to go to a locality and set up a group and grow that group into a branch or a ward for which other things can be done, and a building is built or a building is procured, that a priest who may have been paid to do that service because he is assigned to go to a place and this money is dedicated and required to make it done, as in the past where state clerk was an actual paid occupation that bishops and bishops agents may be paid in that fashion. But that this is typically reserved for priests who are descendants of Aaron. That they are to be scattered among the people. That the things that they do, they may be compensated for. That there may be priests that are drawn from elders or assigned agents that will take care of these matters on a part-time basis and not as the occupation of a descendant of Aaron. This is a difficulty, though. I know in my family, the establishment of somebody as descendant of Aaron is, to a certain extent, difficult. Although I can provide some evidence of this, and that this probably needs to be collected on some level. And that this needs to be ascertained and a registry kept for no lesser reason than for this purpose. And that Melchizedek priesthood holders may do these functions, but only in the absence of those with the hereditary call from the Lord to do this. And those priests who become too old or infirm to continue these duties may have a pension assigned to them, as this is intended to be a lifelong responsibility to perform these functions. But there are several gifts you're given. We'll know exactly how it's going to go that way, whether it's going to be a paid occupation. But there are several responsibilities that these people may be moved about, may be moved from place to place, as need prescribes. This may be warranted to make sure that loyalties in the individual units, that the priest will be loyal to the bishop and not to the quote locals. That this will be a responsibility, even to the point of, and I talked about this with Lisa, even to the point to where, even if it's not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, yet is a descendant of Aaron, it is still their right to have such positions, which such positions come open and are available. Although those who are not currently members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints through baptism are strongly encouraged to become so. But that this is the injunction given. And this is expected to be a lifelong appointment, as it was in days of old. That you do it until you are not able to do it. And at the time when it comes that you are unable to do so, that that you will receive some sort of pension, typically to include a house, food expenses, and a stipend. And that as the Aaronic priesthood authorizes, economies can be taken to send people to retirement villages run by the Aaronic priesthood, to have them eat and drink, congregate communally. That this may be done, that these things can be established, and that this is viewed as a vocation to take care of these needs, to attend to these ordinances, to maintain buildings, facilities, temples, and that this is predominantly done by the priestly class, assisted by what can be called the modern Levites, who will typically not do these things by vocation, but may receive some compensation for time spent, for distance traveled, for responsibilities of that nature. Thus freeing the Melchizedek priesthood for duties of a Melchizedek priesthood nature, missionary work, temple work, the actual work of ordinance workers and temple patrons, things of that nature, and priests who basically accomplish the larger maintenance issues, taking over the responsibilities of physical facilities by the several bishops called from the ranks of the priests. There will be a presiding bishop who will oversee the whole thing. So that's my initial take here. That this is a manner in which to do this, take care of the various needs, to ascertain those who are of the priestly caste, and to put them and to organize them to do the priestly duties, especially in a manner to ensure that funds and consecrations and offerings are well administered, are taken in appropriately, are given out appropriately. That the needs of members are attended to, that others who prowl around under the table, happy to receive scraps, whatever drops from the table, It may be done in this fashion. Widows and the fatherless are cared for. The priority. First, those of the covenant and others by other needs. Covenant first, others second. Children of the covenant, make sure their needs are taken care of. Anyway, so yeah. And that's how you handle issues of the storehouse and who can come and ask of the storehouse. And all have to be cleared up from the bishop. Although he may assign agents sufficient to see to those needs, that he must organize his methodology for how, under what circumstances, within the information given, they may not stray from this particular. For the widow who was not provided for by her husband in the covenant, her husband in the covenant did not provide for her, she'll be provided for. Housing, utilities, food is also available to the fatherless and their minority, and including an opportunity to go to college. This might be, however, having a father that's divorced does not constitute this. That man is responsible for the care of his family. And insofar as a man does not care for his family, just as it is today, he is not in good standing with the church. And he cannot call upon the church to fulfill his obligations. It is his perk to fulfill those obligations. And that is to be, and that is something to be, that falls upon the bishop as judge. Typically, in the area wherever his family is, that he is taking care of his family, and that his wife, his ex-wife, has call upon him for maintenance unless she remarries. Although this is typically left to the civil authority to determine. Civil authority says that this is what he is required to provide to a wife and children. And if he does so, then he is in fellowship with the church and in good standing sufficient to attend the temple. In cases of places, localities where the law does not typically get involved in these things, the church may choose to. In no case should any man who does not meet obligations, either civic or gospel, then they will not be in good standing. And the bishop will judge for Being a husband and a father is a priesthood responsibility, to which sisters are not beholden. And so the provision of needs for the family falls upon him, unless he is simply not able to be judged, simply not able. But that the bishop is in a position to exact from him what he is capable of producing. That this is a large part of the bishop's responsibility, is to look after these individual things, to judge upon them, and then to often assign an agent to oversee what's happening, and to make sure whatever judgment is carried out, and to serve as authority when justice is not being done, when the decision of the bishop is not being abided, and that one does not take excuses, saying, "Well, you drove me out of the church," and you go, "Okay, that's right. Well, I'm not going to ever come back to church," and you go, and all your blessings are stripped, and you're probably going to the Celestial Kingdom. Hope you enjoy it. Because it will not be your family. So if you can repent, this is repent. Get to it. You choose not to, nothing for you. Nothing for you. Just as much as everybody beats the door down to try to say, "Oh no, let's not send anybody away from the church. We don't like excommunications." And you go, excommunications are warranted and needed and required to regulate the church and the gospel. And insofar as we don't do these things, we do a great injustice for which we will be held culpable by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who will not have followers who do not do what is needed. You will not have. And if we on any level strive to justify sin and misdeeds, then we are just as much under condemnation as those people who do the sins in doing nothing about the sin and letting the sin stand and behaving as if everything is fine. We cannot do it. Exactness in keeping the commandments. Square on your individual garments. Exactness in honor and keeping the covenants. Exactness. Not, well, we don't want to make them feel bad. And you go, well, I do. And the Lord does. Feelings of guilt are key toward impelling the disobedient toward repentance. You're being disobedient. Repentance is required. Will repentance be possible? Absolutely. Will forgiveness be given? Yes. Once one sees evidence of change to repentance, it will be given. And it will be available every time you sin, if you sin multiple times, every time. But perhaps with a longer and longer period to ascertain whether one has repented, so that one does not fall back into sin yet again. Always available in this life. Get to it. Don't mess around. Put forth your efforts. If your best effort cannot do it within this life, perhaps when you are out of the body, but cannot be saved in resurrection without real change. Simple as that. So, that being said, I think I'm going to let it go at that. To be bishop as an ecclesiastical judge over a region probably involving a number of stakes would most likely, oh my gosh, it's a horrible price. Well, most likely this will be something of a full-time job, taking care of all these needs, seeing about all these matters. So, I guess that's what it's just a matter of who one gets to do this, to do these things. And I'll leave it at that.